In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysania, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I read the gospel just a few minutes ago, did I lose you in the first paragraph? In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod, and all of that, is that like listening to Begats for you? The gospel writer Luke is merely setting this in a time and a place, in a context. It's sort of like if someone were to start a story about today, and they would say, in the 7th year of the presidency of Barack Obama, when the House and Senate were both led by a majority of Republicans, XYZ happened. Okay? He's setting it, grounding it in a real time and a real place. But he's also grounding it all the way back to the prophet Isaiah, who was waiting for a savior, waiting for a new king. They thought maybe like David. And so the prophet writes, and John repeats, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low." Now remember, this was Palestine. This was the area of Israel. This is rocky and mountainous and rough. I know when we moved here from Wisconsin, and we moved from an area where there were lots of hills, and as we're driving down here for one of my interviews, David was riding with me, and I remember him saying something to the effect of, "So they made the rough places flat, prepared the way of the Lord." But they were, in anticipation, they were preparing for a king. And the people of Israel, if nothing else, were a people of hope, a people who believed that God would come back and save them from the oppressors. Now in Jesus' day, that was Roman-occupied territory. There was no kingdom of Israel anymore to speak of. There were Jewish people waiting for God to fulfill God's promises. They knew another king was coming. And he was. Christ the Savior was coming into the world to save us, from death and darkness and all the things that oppress us. He was coming as a king, but not the way anybody expected. You see this throughout the Gospels. You see this in the New Testament letters. Jesus came. Jesus reigned. Jesus still reigns. But not the way the world expects him to. And so as people of God, we need to gather weekly to remind ourselves that the King reigns, but not the way the world expected him to. The King is present, but not in the way the world wants him to be. What seems to reign in the world today? What seems to be winning? What seems to have the upper hand? Fear, violence, destruction. I mean, from Sandy Hook to San Bernardino. And the world tells us we need to put up bigger walls. We need to fight back. We need to hurt somebody so we won't be hurt. It reminds me of when my kids were little. We lived in Racine, Wisconsin. David was about 3 or 4. And we had this block party. And so all the grown-ups are bringing food out, bringing beverages out. The kids are playing. It's a hot August day. And I don't know how it started, but one of the kids thought it'd be fun to have a water fight. And so the first kid brings out a little squirt gun and sprays a little spray at the kid across the street. Well, the kid across the street goes in and gets an empty dishwashing soap bottle and goes, well, the kid that gets sprayed by that comes back with a super soaker. Ha! But the kid across the street has a bigger super soaker. Ha! And the kid across the street goes and gets a bucket of water. Ha! It didn't end well. It didn't end well. Because when we bring up our anger, anger begets anger. And that wasn't the way of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples time and time and time again, okay, fellas, you need to understand what I'm doing here, because I am going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to taunt me, they're going to abuse me, they're going to beat me, they're going to kill me. And in 3 days, I am going to rise again. Jesus' response to the sin of the world was to confront it with love, to confront it head on, to walk through death that love might win. The King will come. How many times have we said this? God did not give you a spirit of fear. God gave you a spirit of adoption, of love. God did not give you a spirit of fear. So if you have a spirit of fear, that's coming from somewhere else. The king will come. But it's going to be more like this. From Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Now this even flips our benevolent selves a little bit on our heads. Because when we see Christ, it's not just when we are doing good deeds for others, but when we see Christ, Christ is the others that we share with. When did I see you hungry or thirsty, Lord? When you saw the people coming into the food pantry and you gave them food and welcomed them with drink. When did we see you without clothing? We saw Jesus in the people who will be receiving hats and mittens and scarves and socks. They are Jesus. When did we see you, a stranger? That's a hard one for America right now. Because the thing that people, the culture wants us most to fear is the stranger. But in the stranger, we also see Jesus. This is why Lutherans, for generation after generation after generation after generation, have had immigration and refugee services. It goes all the way back to the Exodus, when God's people were strangers in a strange land. When did we see you sick or in prison? When we go to visit the sick, when we go to visit someone in a prison, we are visiting Christ there. And so when we go caroling this afternoon, and we go to the nursing homes, and we see someone who can't hold up their head anymore, or can't communicate lucidly anymore, they are Jesus. And we are sharing the good news that Jesus started out helpless, as an infant, unable to hate or hurt, but as an infant, to walk where we walked, to face the cross, to face the darkest of dark intents, that love and not fear might win. And that is our task as Christians, to proclaim the good news that love and not fear will win. Say it with me, love and not fear will win. That's the message of the season. We have, when you come up for communion this morning,
thank you.